Back with you here on 92.9 The Game. Before we get to the busy, busy phones, just want to remind you to join the morning shift every Friday for the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 10 o'clock on Chris Thomas Tonight. You got eight games, guys. Can they do it? Can the coaching staff listen? And here's why I'm phrasing it this way. Imagine whatever it is that you do for work. Imagine knowing that you had one task to do to save your job. And if you can't do it, you're going to lose your job. Whether it's you're an accountant, you get the big Kaminsky file, like from Seinfeld. You got to complete it. You got to ace it. Otherwise, you're fired. That's essentially what Zach Robinson and the offensive staff are looking at right now. So can desperation save their jobs? Let's start with Nate in North Carolina. Nate, you're in the game.
Hey. Hey, what's going on, Turtle?
What up, man?
Ain't much. Hey, first, man, I want to say first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
But I think that if they had have been that they've really been in this situation for the last couple of weeks, man. So I don't see what they can do now to change all of that. It just is, and I think it's in a situation that where they don't know what to do. You can see it when the blitzes come from one side. Everybody knows that plays football. The open man is where the blitz comes from. Too often, Pennis is looking the other way. The blitz is hitting him in the backside. It's just, I think we made the wrong decision for head coach. Bottom line, I really do.
Well, Nate, and thanks for checking in. If that's the case, then they will no longer retain their services with the Atlanta Falcons. That's my default on this one. If they can't do it, they will not have a job. Guys, it's that simple. If these guys cannot get Penix back in order, they will not have a job. Because that is now mission statement number one with a bullet. With a bullet, you have to get nine back on track. How do you do it? Coaching. You have to coach him up. You have to be able to overcome what these defenses are doing to him. You have to be able to scheme receivers open. You have to be able to get the running game back to being consistent. You have to. And if you can't do it, it's going to cost you your job. So can desperation win out and save the day? John in Adairsville is up next. John, go ahead.
Hey, so, man, it's been painfully hilarious over the past 24 hours to listen to all the Falcons fans. Man, it's horrible. But I can say this. I remember where I was sitting when Arthur Blank bought the Falcons, and I remember looking at my friend and saying he did not buy them to not have a champion. He did not buy them to be the losers that they had been. And listen, it's hard for me to sit on the sidelines and watch Arthur because I knew Arthur when he was with Home Depot, and it's hard for me to sit there because that guy has got so much passion. And somebody has sold him a raw bill of goods here. Rich McKay's probably got a huge part of in all this. But here's the deal. I know this. I know that Arthur, as a store manager, Arthur would never put up with this. I know as a head coach, Arthur is it's killing him. And he will do something. I cannot see him continuing to turn a blind eye to Raheem at this particular point. It's hard to watch Raheem because he's a really nice guy. But at this point, listen, I've watched a lot of nice people not make it. And it's not nice guys. It's not nice guys finish last.
No, John, I get it, and I appreciate the phone call. Listen, that's exactly why we're having this conversation. It's funny. That's the exact pinpoint reason. Because if you can't do it, a job you will not have. That's the bottom line. You're right. Arthur Blank, in my opinion, cannot sit there at Flowery Branch and at his home estate and watch this team continue to fumble around. He can't. And that's why I truly believe if this team cannot get Michael Penix Jr. in order, there will be major, major changes. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's sooner rather than later. Sooner rather than later. Again, I said this last week and I stand by it. You can't fire Raheem in season. Not because he doesn't deserve it. He's 20 games under 500 as a head coach, by the way. Not because he doesn't deserve it, but because there's literally nobody to take the job. So it would have to be another coach. Scott's in Atlanta. Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, so I think we're asking the wrong question. If we're going to depend on Michael Penix to chuck it all over the field, and I understand making better decisions and making better throws, I get that. But this offense is not built to put the ball in his hands and just chuck it all over the field. If we're going to set up the pass and help Michael Penix, we have got to set up the run. Now, I went back and looked at some stats, and these might be eye-opening to you and other fans, but Bijan is on pace for 50 less carries than he had last year. He had 304 total carries last year. He's on pace for 255. He also had 16 rushing touchdowns last year. He only has two this year. On top of that, Tyler Allgeier, he's on pace for record low carries, record low yardage. This is a problem. We're built to run the ball. So if we want to help Michael Penix, Bijan Robinson for the season is averaging 5 yards a carry. Tyler Allgeier is averaging 3.6 yards a carry. That's what the numbers say. If we want to help him, we need to run the ball to set up the pass. That's almost 9 yards between the two of them. Second and one sounds a lot better than third and 10 or third and nine, doesn't it? So that's that. But also, I also looked at the stats of Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey. They're touching the ball a significantly amount more than Bijan and Tyler are. So if we have the best 1-2 punch in football at running back, if we truly do, let's run them. Let's work the clock. And when Penix does throw the ball, stop throwing to David Sills or these, you know, anyone else besides Drake London. If we run the ball with Bijan and Tyler, and then we do throw, why not do something like what Indianapolis did, where they do a tight end screen with Tyler Warren, but we do it with Kyle Pitts?
No, Scotty.
Why not have Tyler Allgeier and Bijan do little valve routes where we throw it to him and have them both on the field and throw to him in an emergency?
No,
that would make
Scott,
Michael
Penix's listen, man,
job easier.
That's definitely, and I appreciate you checking in as always, that's definitely part of the solution. Be more creative, as you're saying. Use different combinations. Use Bijan and Tyler on the field together at the same time. That's all part of how this thing works. But I will say one thing to your stats. You got to keep this in mind, Scott. And who is this on? Coaching. The Falcons got blown out in two games, essentially taking the run game away. So you wonder why those carries are down? You lost 34-10 to Miami, and you lost 30-0 to Carolina. You can't run the ball in those situations. So that's going to two out of the nine games that you played, essentially your running game was effective, rendered ineffective. And in the other games, again, to me, that's on coaching. Scott, appreciate you checking in as always. Augie's in the car. Augie, go ahead.
Hey, so I'm kind of mad at Scott because he took a lot of my points I was going to say. But, I mean, I agree with him. When Tyler Allgeier has 15 carries, the Falcons are 10-3. They have lost three times.
Including
when Tyler
three,
has
and you
want to
know what's crazy about that stat too? You want to know what they are this year when he does that?
3-0. I know. I mean, I'm sure a part of that is just game script. They hand off to him at the end of the game, but you got to think there's something to that. Michael Penix Jr. cannot overthrow a handoff to Bijan Robinson. He can't overthrow that. So when the run game is going, which part of that is game script, it makes Michael Penix's life so much easier. Drake London, medium range target. All the guys are moving on the box. That leaves this nice, juicy zone for Drake London to get active in. It's a real easy throw for Penix to make. It just, if they would just hand the ball off to Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson behind, not as good in recent years as it has been in recent years, but still a solid offensive line. If they just hand it off, not only will Michael Penix have less opportunity to mess up, that will look good on the coaching staff, and they can save their jobs.
No, Augie, it's all good points, man, and I appreciate you checking in. drive safe. It's just a matter of if you can do that, right? And you mentioned game script, and that's really what it comes down to. The game flow is another term, another football cliche, but it's true. They're cliches for a reason. Like I just said, in the Miami game and in the Carolina game, you couldn't run the ball. You were down too much. You had to throw yourself back into the game. And again, that's two out of the nine games you've played this season. 49ers game, they shut down your running game. Like you can't force it if it's not working. You need to be able to adjust, and it just seems like the second the ball is put in Michael Penix's hands, so to speak, to help to go win the game, that's when disaster strikes. It's unfortunate, but that's what's happened so far this year. James is in Decatur. James.
Hey, Turtle.
What up, man?
You know, we've been doing this ifing game for the last four games, and the ifing is not working. But what I'm trying to figure out is what are they doing out there at Flower Branch? Are they scrimmaging? Are they going against – the offense is going against one of the top five defense. And you tell me that they didn't see Michael Penix mechanics doing that? I'm just trying to figure out what are they doing out there.
Well, James, that's exactly why I'm saying it's coaching, to your point. Exactly, right? What are they doing? Why have they not been able to figure this out? What are they not trying that they need to start trying? That's what these guys get paid millions of dollars to figure out. To James's point, figure it out. You're the coach. You're the head coach, Raheem. You're the OC, Zach. You've certainly found out what doesn't work. So now it's time to figure out what works. Taylor's in Norcross. Taylor, go ahead.
Yo, what's going on, Turtle?
What up, Taylor?
Yo, so my thing is, you're absolutely right. It comes down to coaching, but specifically one coach, and it's Raheem. It falls at Raheem's feet. Raheem's the leader, but more or less, my thought is that Raheem provides zero structure for everyone underneath him. So he's not doing his job as a leader to provide the structure for both Zach and for Dwayne and for all those people that have their hands in the offense to say, hey, guess what? Just like we did in Minnesota, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to come out and make it a point to do this. And if it's not working, then we'll try to tailor it to fit it so that, you know, we don't go away from it. We'll continue to try to do different variations of what the game plan is. You started this segment with saying, you know, hey, if you have one job and your job is to, you know, finish your thing, then that should be your goal. You should circle it. It should be like, okay, no matter what, this is what we are supposed to do. This is the goal. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And you've attacked the situation that way. And for me, I feel like Raheem is great as a rah-rah guy. He's a great people person, but he's not a leader. And he doesn't provide the structure that, say, Mike Vrabel does when he goes to New England. Like, he brings the guy from Las Vegas, who everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's a terrible coach. No, he's not a terrible coach. He just needed someone to provide him a little bit of structure so that, hey, he can succeed with a second-year quarterback. Nobody thought Vic May was going to be great like that. But guess what? They're succeeding, and they're succeeding with that structure in that organization. So that's my solution is, hey, you need to, as Raheem Morris, understand what you're trying to do, make it a point to circle it, underline it, whatever you got to do to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Give them that structure, and then you should be good to go. At least at that point, you can identify, like, okay, hey, maybe we should have tailored this X, Y, Z. You can make adjustments from there. But, you know, at this point, it seems like they're just willy-nilly. It's like, okay, yeah, you tell me what you want to do, and that doesn't work.
No, I appreciate it.
That's all I got. Thanks, Turtle.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Listen, that's exactly what Raheem needs to do, but we don't know the tangible and intangible things that go into that, right? Like, we're not privy to the meeting structure and what goes on in all those rooms and everything. You hope, as the coach, that he's doing those things. If he's not, that certainly needs to change immediately. But again, you've now had a 9-game sample size to figure out what works and what doesn't for your quarterback. Make the dang adjustments, man. Come on, Zach, Raheem, TJ, Dwayne, everybody in that room, Ken, let's go. It's crunch time for the young QB. We got to make it happen. If you're on hold, stay there. Your calls are coming up. Plus, Will McFadden, senior writer for AtlantaFalcons.com. All that and more. Getting rolling with you on a Tuesday evening. Chris Thomas tonight.